Keith is going to come. Hey, let's give this guy a hand. He did awesome last week.
Rick, I'm so glad you're preaching because preacher last week, he was rough. I fell asleep in the sermon, I got to be honest, last week. So good you're here and leading that time. So why don't we open our Bibles or our bulletins to Luke chapter 14. So here we go. It goes like this. When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has been invited? The host will come and say, "Give this person your seat." Then you'll be embarrassed, and you'll have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, "Friend, we have a better place for you." Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen.
Thanks, Keith. The place of honor. I chose this subject because of Mother's Day. Every time you think of Mother's Day, it is the day to honor your father and your mother, to honor your parents. People, you know, put together cards, they call. People are expecting, actually those of us who are parents, are kind of expecting something a little different on a weekend like this. So I thought, this is a perfect time to talk about the subject of honor. And the message topic is going to be the honor habit. How do we become people who are really good at expressing honor? One of the reasons is this is a time when we're either kind of a little bit wondering, where is our place going to be at the table? If you're thinking about the scripture passage about this wedding feast, are we going to be at the head of the table or are we going to be at the foot of the table? And how do we actually get there? Are people going to acknowledge, are our children going to acknowledge the sacrifices we've made? How do we work these things out? So it's an important thing. Sometimes it's a difficult thing because when we think of our own parents, we might have lots to say or we might have little to say. When our kids think of us, that we might have regrets. So important to understand what is honor and how do we achieve honor in God's sight. And the Bible has a lot to say about this subject. Honor is to be abundantly blessed and esteemed. And one of the first things to realize is that God loves to honor us. In the Old Testament, the first call that happened was to Abraham. And he received a visit from God and was told, "I will bless you and I will make your name great." First words out of God's mouth were, "I want to bless you. I want to make your name great. I want to honor you. And you will be a blessing to others." He said, he goes on and says, "I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." And then he really blows Abraham's mind with this promise, "All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, this was a serious promise of God. Today, thousands of years later, everybody still knows who Abraham is. His name was not buried in a book that nobody read. It was not forgotten in the annals of history. If you ask people from any major world religion, especially Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, which is the bulk of monotheism, everybody honors Abraham. This is a promise that came true, and God had to do it. How in the world, all these thousands of years later, is this promise true? It's because God wanted to honor him. He began the covenant this way with this promise to give Abraham a blessing, to give him land, to give him influence. And we are part of that extended blessing. It's come to us as well. The most important thing to remember about honor is this. We are blessed to be a blessing. That is the promise to Abraham. That's the idea of honor. And we are honored so that we can become people who honor others. In God's kingdom, Honor is something that is always passed on. Passed on. So it's a noun, to have esteem, to be abundantly blessed, and it's also a verb. It's a practice. It's a practice of advancing another's status or their cause. So it's slightly different than respect. Respect is more, it can be a verbal affirmation of someone saying, I really appreciate you. But honor is actually a very practical thing we do for others. We advance their status. It's in the story of the wedding, someone literally took this person from the foot of the table to the head of the table and honored them and moved them up. It's an advancing. So we give people status, we give people further what they're all about. And in the same way, humility is also an action. It's the favoring and putting another's interests above our own. Now, sometimes we think of humility in terms of denigrating ourselves. You know, I'm going to be humble, I'm going to think poorly of myself, I'm just a worm, you know, that kind of thing. I'm a terrible person. Actually, humility is simply wanting to see another person lifted up. We don't have to actually denigrate ourselves to be humble. All we really have to do is think of somebody else's interests and say, I care enough about you, and I actually care about myself too, but I want to see you succeed. I want to love you as I love myself. Hopefully, if we have good self-esteem from God, this is very natural, and we want to help someone succeed. Just because we've been blessed, we want to bless others. That's what humility is. Now, it becomes a negative when we have when we get demoted because we are trying to advance our own interests too much and somebody demotes us. That's kind of like the story. The person's taken the head table next to the wedding guests and they're not even related and somebody has to say, can you move down, please? Can you go down you can't sit here. There's relatives that are sitting here with the bride and groom. You know, the mom's here, she doesn't have a seat. You know, you can't take it, so we got to move you down. Humility, voluntary humility is admirable. It is beautiful. It's a wonderful endeavor. So when we learn humility and we realize we don't have to really, you know, we don't have to think bad about ourselves, we just need to think of other people, that's how humility is exercised. So that's the definitions. Now there's a few very important things to understand about honor in terms of how we exercise it, how we apply it in our lives. The first thing is that honor usually comes with a motivation. Now, if you start reading verses about honor, it'll say things like, if you do this, this will happen. That's because we need to be motivated to honor because it's backwards. It's counterintuitive. One of the first things you read when you think about honor is that humility comes before honor. We actually need to intentionally advance the interests of somebody else and maybe give up some of our own interests in order to receive honor. That's what the parable is saying. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. You'll get demoted. So better way to do it is humble yourself, think of others' interests, and you'll be exalted. It's hard to do, but it is the thing that brings honor in the end. There's lots of verses about serving in the Bible. It talks about being, you know, for example, I didn't put this in your notes, but 1 Peter talks a lot about that. In fact, I had a really interesting experience earlier in my career. I worked in a church, and I suffered under the senior pastor of the church. It was not a good situation for me, and I had to humble myself. I felt like I wasn't acknowledged for who, you know, the gifts I had for a season. And I remember I picked up 1 Peter 5, and it talked about just submitting to your elders, submitting to those who lead you. And I said, oh, that is so hard right now. But I said, I need the right attitude. And it talked about just be eager to serve. And if you persevere in serving, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. That was my rock. I didn't have a good reason to do this, but I knew that if I did it for the Lord's sake, it would work out. Talked about submitting yourself to your elders. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. So God is the one who lifts us up. Even when we're in a hard situation, we remember that he will do that. Very important principle when it comes to honor. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. The second one is kind of a relief. We don't need to honor and advance the cause of fools. Now, think about that. Honor is about advancing someone's cause. It's about lifting it up. So if you've got a person that is being foolish, you don't have to advance the cause that is foolish. And there's some great verses about that in Proverbs. It says, honor is no more associated with fools than snow with summer or rain with harvest. Okay, so they're very different. Honor and fools are different. Another one I like, this is one of my favorites, kind of visceral, is honoring a fool is as foolish as tying a stone to a slingshot. Now you can imagine, tie a stone to a slingshot, you do this, you let it go, and there goes my stuff on the ground, and you get hit in the face, right? And that's it, you know? Okay, that's about it. That's what honoring the cause of a fool is. It comes right back to hit you in the face. Still, we are to honor those in authority over us. Kind of a paradox. And I was thinking, why is that the case? What if the person in authority over us is acting foolishly? How are we supposed to honor the person who is not fulfilling their role? And here's what I think the answer is to this paradox. This is where you can sit at peace when you're in a situation where it's unjust. Everyone in authority over us, an employer, maybe even a parent, you know, when some of us have situations where we're having trouble honoring our parents, maybe it's the government, they have a good and worthy cause they're assigned to do. That's why they're given this position of authority. It's something noble that they're assigned to do. They may fail in this endeavor, they may do it poorly, but there is a God-given role for them to fulfill. And what our job is to do is to affirm the good thing they are to do. That is what we are to honor. That is what we are to affirm in them. And in that way, God's name is honored. So it says in here, those in authority over us, we are to consider worthy of full honor so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. And it goes on another passage, same thing, and it says, if you honor this person, it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. So in any situation we have, whenever it's costly for us to respect or to follow, we do it for God's sake. That's why we do it. We do it for God's sake, for his name and for his honor. He's the ultimate one we do it for. And in the end, we trust that he is going to lift us up. You understand that? Really important principle. It really frees us to do what is right in every single situation, no matter where we are. Now, there are at least four areas where honor is a very important matter. And the first one, of course, is about honoring God. Honoring God first and advancing his cause. First commandment is all about honoring God. You shall have no other gods before me. So first and foremost, he wants to receive the blessing and the status that is due his name. You ever wonder why honor is associated with money? Because there's passages about this, and this is Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, and then there's a motivator, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The reason there has to be a motivator for that is when we give to God, we don't have that money to spend on ourselves. We actually give up status. We give up an opportunity when we give some of our money to God. And God says, I want you to do that. I want you to humble yourself and do that. This is humbling for you. To give it away without knowing where it's going to go and how it's going to benefit you. It's not going to benefit you. It's going to benefit God. Or it's going to benefit something else. He does that intentionally because it's hard. He does that intentionally so that we voluntarily humble ourselves. And we do it in faith that he will make it up. That's what this all is about. So honor is always practical. It's not a theoretical thing. It's why money is involved. And when we honor God with our wealth, it says, yeah, I'm serious about this. I really mean it. I am going to give up an opportunity for my own status that I could bring about maybe in my own. Now, we all know that the opportunity to earn money often comes from circumstances way beyond our control. We trust God that He is going to help with those circumstances and with those provisions. And we honor God in that way. Similarly, we have Jesus in the mix. A lot of people, they say, well, I love God, but I don't really like the whole idea of Jesus being God. I just want to worship God. Jesus addresses the idea of honor as well. It says here, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. So God has actually set up the world that when people hear the message of Jesus for the first time, and they begin to understand the promises of God, and they begin to see, He died on the cross for my sins. He sacrificed Himself. He did something incredibly difficult to forgive my sins. That is worthy of a very special honor. And the biggest honor I can do is to trust in Him with my life and to trust that He will give me eternal life as a result. I will actually cross over from death to life by honoring and trusting Jesus. It may feel foolish. I may not have all the information I need. I keep coming back trying to figure that out. But He says, this is the way to receive honor, is to honor the Son so that you can honor the unseen Father. Honor is amazing. It always involves a sacrifice on our part. Then we're called to honor our families and point them to God. It starts actually as parents. Before we talk about honoring the mothers, you know, and having the kids do that. And by the way, if there are kids here, want to make sure that you do honor your moms today. In fact, I've put some cards in the back over here in case you're going to lunch or something after this, you're not going to go home. I want you to get a card and write something nice for mom on it, because this is important, honoring your parents. But before this starts, it falls on us as parents, and actually not only physical parents, because some of us don't have children, we can be spiritual parents to others, to people younger than us. This is a very important role that we can all play in the church. In fact, Paul writes about it as a spiritual father and as a spiritual mother. He uses this passage in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and talks about we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. So we can be literal parents or grandparents. We can be spiritual parents and grandparents. And our key role in this is to point people to God. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives too. We share our lives and we share God's good news. Same thing with fathers. We dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Our goal in raising children or in influencing the next generation is never to control, but to cultivate. And best of all, to help them be people who honor God. If we honor God, everything else will take care of itself. Because even if we're in an awful situation, we are always in a position to honor God. No matter where, we have to be humble, because God's honored. We grow and we learn from that. The other thing is, marriage should be honored. There's a passage here in Hebrews 13. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. Again, very practical. Everything in our culture, even though we give lip service to marriage and give it honor, is tearing marriage apart. There's temptations to commit adultery. There's temptations to watch things we shouldn't watch. There's temptations to cheat. All of these things, or there's, you know, just all kinds of things, tear apart the fabric of marriage and tear apart relationships. And yet, God calls us to honor marriage. It should be honored by all. And our role is to love our spouses like we love ourselves, to think of their needs first, to make that a huge priority for the sake of them and for the family and for the sake of God and for His reputation. Marriage. And then when we come to children, we have, of course, the fifth commandment. The reason for even having a Mother's Day message. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Now, this needs a motivation. That's because it's hard. You need a motivation. There's a motivation. If you do this, you're going to live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That means it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy to always honor your parents and to see the good in them. But again, everybody has a mother. The mother labored long and hard and gave us birth. That is an honorable thing. Parents always give and sacrifice for their children. We can remember that. When we are young, the best honor we can do is to listen and take good advice from our parents and follow the good advice they give us. And when we're older, one of the best honors we can do is to help our aging parents if there's a need. This is an honor to them. Parents' roles are to bring honor to children. So this is why it says as a warning, this is the passage from Proverbs. Now then, listen, my sons, listen to me. Don't turn aside from what I say, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to one who is cruel. Don't be unwise because you're sacrificing your own honor. Everything we do is about lifting another up if we're working in God's will. That's all it is. We want them to succeed. We want them to flourish. We want them to have honor and not to regret at the end and say, my flesh and my body are spent. Oh, how I hated discipline. Oh, how I spurned correction. We don't want that. We want honor. Then, after honoring God first, honoring our families in all kinds of different ways and expressing that in all kinds of ways, we're to honor other Christians and we're to honor other churches. Now, the verse in Galatians 6, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Just a second here. I've spent some time observing how churches grow and flourish. And I think one of the ways churches grow and flourish the most is when people come for the first time, if the leadership of the church is focused on advancing the gifting and cause of everybody who comes in, the church flourishes. That's why a church that's very healthy has a lot to offer. It offers things for the children. It looks for ways to serve the people that come. And a church will grow when leaders think of serving. They give and they put a lot of time and attention to moving people along forward and helping them grow as Christians and grow to love God. But another thing that happens in churches is that there are other churches in a town. And I remember when we started the Beautiful Day service opportunity, there was a temptation to take some glory for our church and just keep it. Sort of like, let's do a good deed in the community and let's let people know that, hey, our church did this good deed. And let's bring some honor. You know, it will serve, but we kind of want some attention for this, right? But I remember I had a very strong conviction about that, that shouldn't be the case. Maybe it was because I was, you know, thinking about the idea of loving the family of believers. It was also the fact that I had some exposure to some big churches that were giving things away to churches that had nothing to do with them. And they were growing like crazy. One of the churches, a large church in California, 35% of the staff time is devoted to churches that are not part of their denomination. They just help them with things like small groups. And they just give things away, like resources, for free. We got one in the email today, actually this week. Jennifer got a free vacation Bible study curriculum from one of these churches for free. We don't have any connection with them at all. But because they have understood this principle of generosity and honor, they honor not only their own people, but the churches around them. Another church I know of, they spent some time going from church to church in their town, praying for those churches. They asked for prayer requests. They said, what can we do to serve you? And that church grew. So then I thought, you know what? There's a principle here. There's a principle of serving our own, but there's also a principle of honoring the entire body of Christ. So that's why when we began Beautiful Day, the goal was, let's share the love and let's share the honor and see what happens. Let's talk about the other churches in town and let's get them to serve. Let's serve together and let's see what happens. And guess what? A week ago, the front page of the Squim Gazette was about Beautiful Day. And when they looked at pictures in the article, they were talking about so-and-so from this church and so-and-so from that church. And the people who wrote the article and the people who read the article paid attention because it was about honoring the body of Christ and honoring the causes of the things in the town. It was all about honor. So love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. There's a great joy in that. In fact, another translation, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Okay? Outdo one another in showing honor. So our major, our habit, if we think about it, if we really want to have joy, and we really want to see things go well, is just to be the kind of people who literally look for, hey, you did great. Hey, you did great. Thank you. Hey, look at that over there. Look at that over there. That's what the Lord says will bring honor. And it works. Now, it's a powerful thing. You know, the new commandment that Jesus gave, love one another as I've loved you. Remember that new commandment? There's an alternative translation to that because the word is agape. This is the alternative translation. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you prefer one another. Okay? Not love. Love is the word that we usually use. Agape, high value. The other translation is prefer. So you realize the key to church growth, the key to church health is just preferring each other. That's it. And the world will pay attention when we prefer the body of Christ. We prefer the people of God, and we prefer the community. We serve. Finally, we're called to honor those in need because it honors God. Proverbs 14, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Comes full circle. If we are kind, if we pursue righteousness and kindness, if we are respectful to everyone, we will find life, righteousness, and honor. That's the way it happens. The Lord bestows this to us. So this is a great day, I have to say. Mother's Day, I like Mother's Day a lot. I like the idea of honoring. I like the idea of thanking. I hope you make very good use of this day today to the people in your lives who have served you, as well as to your children and grandchildren and spiritual children and grandchildren. Make it a day of affirmation. Outdo one another in showing honor, and it will come back to you. Pay some costly things. Do something that brings something good to another that might lower your chances of receiving some glory yourself. See what happens. Trust God in that. That's why I like this request at the end of Hebrews 13. The writer says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience. I hope that we can say that today, maybe as we come out of here today. If you don't, just confess a little and let's walk out of here with a clear conscience. You know, or with something to do. Because we desire to live honorably in every way. That's what I want to do today. I hope that as we leave today, that's what we leave thinking. I want to come out of this room with a clear conscience. I want to give up some things that I'm harboring, forgive. I want to think about the good things about the people who are around me. I want to honor my mom and dad and whoever else. My desire to do that. And let's pray to that end. Lord, we do thank you for the model you give us that you want to bless. You want to bless us. You want to make our name great as we make the names of others great, as we make your name great. Thank you that you made it backwards. Thank you that when we end up doing that, we are humbled. We are appreciative. We are thankful for all you have done for us, where we say, I don't know how this all happened, but I know that God did it. Jesus, we want to honor you. We want to thank you for your sacrifice of sin, that you paid the price for us. Lord, help us to trust you in the real and practical ways. Help us to trust you with our finances and our expectations and our needs. Help us to trust you in the hard relationships so that you receive honor and you lift us up. Lord, help us to appreciate everything that you've given and the people you've given to us. Lord, this is a day to honor. Make us very good at it. Make it a habit for us and make us honorable people in Jesus' name. Amen.